Let's start here, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were with us on this program. Hurricane Harvey had sprung to life and had just struck. And you made a point of saying on that program that, coincidentally or not, and you would suggest not coincidentally, that that happened almost identically the same time as Jared Kushner, son-in-law of the president, landed in Jerusalem to kickstart the peace process between Israel and the Palestinians. If you could, bring us up to date with what that effort is now looking like. What happened when Jared went? What has been happening since he's been there? What's been the impact of Jared Kushner's attempt to reinvigorate the peace efforts there in the Middle East?
Well, Sam, just briefly, in my book, Eye to Eye, I document when U.S. presidents, whether it's Bush, Clinton, Bush, Obama, or even Trump, apply pressure on Israel to give up their covenant land, Judea, Samaria, and East Jerusalem for an Arab state, there is a rebuke, an atmospheric rebuke, which I believe is the God of Israel, because it happens over and over again. I've documented 127 times since the Madrid Land for Peace Conference began of October 31st, November 1, 1991, when the perfect storm was sending 30-foot waves into President Bush's home in Kennebunkport, Maine, as he's calling on Israel to leave this land. And what was interesting about Harvey, and let me put it this way, every major hurricane, three plus, has had a connection to Israel all the way back to the beginning of the Madrid conference. Every single one, the ones in 2004, the ones in 2005, Harvey, and now Irma. But what was happening, Sam, is Kushner and Greenblatt and Powell, Dina Powell, who works for the National Security Council, were in Qatar, Doha, Qatar. They were in Jeddah and also in Abu Dhabi, meeting with the leaders over there. And I might add, these were secretive meetings. I had to literally study the Arab press to find out about these meetings. Even some of the major networks were trying to get information about where's Kushner, where is he right now? And matter of fact, CBS contacted Secret Service, and they confirmed that he was in Doha, Qatar, on August 21st. August 22nd, he was in Jeddah. 22nd, he's also in Abu Dhabi, meeting with the leadership there. Then he went to Jordan to meet with King Abdullah, and then he went to Egypt to meet with President El-Sisi. What was interesting is during this period of time, from August 19th, the former tropical depression, tropical storm Harvey was finished. It was dead. There was no more advisories for 3.5 days out of the National Hurricane Center. And at the moment that Kushner arrived in Jerusalem, Harvey reformed. That night on the 23rd became a tropical storm, and at the time he was meeting with Netanyahu and Abbas, the next day Harvey became a Category 3, then 4, and became a monster hurricane. So to put it in a perspective, I mean, it shocked the hurricane people because the storm was finished, but it rejuvenated once Kushner arrived in Israel and started pushing on his comprehensive plan for Middle East, with the key component to this of Israel agreeing to give up some of their covenant land for the price of peace.
Bill, as you well know, during the campaign, President Trump talked repeatedly about the possibility of moving the U.S. embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. We're not hearing a lot about that right now, but what we are hearing, and it's a matter of great concern to many of us, is that there are mixed messages with respect to Israel coming out of the White House. Are you hearing those mixed messages? And if so, can you talk about what specifically they are?
Yeah, a couple things here, Dave. Number one, he's still committed to moving the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, the U.S. embassy. And Vice President Pence acknowledges this frequently. And I really believe it'll happen at some point. But they believe, for the sake of negotiations, this isn't the time to attempt it. That what we're seeing right now is a conflict, a typical conflict that's been going on for years between the White House and the State Department. The State Department still has many Arabists that have been in the State Department for a long time. Unfortunately, Tillerson has brought on a couple of former Obama people that were involved in the peace process that are very committed to trying to create a Palestinian state. But I think what's really interesting is President Trump and Kushner have this idea that there can be a Middle East peace deal. Which is interesting is the United States will say, okay, you Sunni Arab countries that border the Persian Gulf, Kuwait, United Arab Emirates, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, we will side with you. We will work with you and stand with you against the threat Iran is to the Middle East. And then we want you to normalize relationships with Israel. Kushner arranged for President Trump to speak to leaders of 50 Muslim countries when he was in Riyadh in late May. That was somewhat of a coup where Trump actually went to Riyadh and spoke to these leaders. So the idea is, okay, we're going to be with you. We're going to be friends with you. We want to see peace. I mean, Kushner's Jewish, Greenblatt's Jewish, David Friedman's Jewish. You know, they're very staunch on the land, but if there's a chance of bringing peace to Israel, let's try this comprehensive, you know, somewhat brilliant plan. But the problem here, Dave, is the component that's necessary for that plan to make it work is Israel's land. And that's where I think we continue to see the rebuke.
Bill, in the end of the day, what do you think are the reasons behind these mixed messages occurring? Is it more than just that? And also, for my sake and the sake of the listeners out there, who would you identify as some of the people making these deals with the Palestinians that don't seem to be in favor of Israel?
Well, you know, that's a good question, Isaac. I think when you look at the situation there, as I just mentioned, the State Department has been very difficult to deal with. There was times when George W. Bush, I've been serving at the White House for 16 and a half years, and there was times when George W. Bush would say something and the State Department would counter it or come up with something different. And we were saying, like, well, who's in control here? Is it the White House in control, or is it the State Department that's in control? And there's a lot of lifers, so to speak, that are very pro-Arab that have been in the State Department a long time. And we're studying right now that Tillerson has actually brought on some people at the State Department to assist him. They, you know, just in the last week, they were talking about $57 to $75 million that was an overage that the people at the State Department says, you know, we don't want that. That shouldn't be going to Israel. And all of a sudden, fortunately, Trump in 48 hours later says, no, that overage is fine in this memorandum that Obama did with the Palestinians, but we want that money to go there. So that was a good indication of the continued tension between the White House and the State Department. And I want to be very specific. I think President Trump in many ways has been a better friend and a greater friend of Israel than any other president. I mean, we've had presidents that are friends of Israel. Obama, that's still out for debate. But the fact is, Trump is very favorable to the Jewish state. He's got an Orthodox Jew, David Friedman, as the ambassador to Israel. He has a great relationship with Netanyahu. And I really think all of these guys want to see Israel live in peace and security. We know biblically it doesn't happen till the end when the Messiah comes. But for us, from that perspective, that's why we continue to lobby and write about the fact that this land is God's. He gave it to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and their descendants. And there's no leader has the right to divide this land.